Okay, so we're doing Gemara in Sota Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, six lines from the top. So the Gemara says that if she has a schus, that the Sota drinks the Mayim, if she's chayv, if she's guilty, she'll die. If not, she'll be innocent. She'll nothing will happen. But the Gemara says that, but the Mishnah says if she has a schus, the schus will save her, will temporarily suspend the death sentence of the Mayim. Okay, so and depending on what schus, it could be a year, 2 years, 3 years. But the Gemara asks, schus tamai. Okay, what schus does she have that will save her? So, ilam is schus de Torah. Maybe you'll say it's the schus de Torah that she learnt. If she learned Torah, she'll be protected from the onesh of the Mayim. Okay? So the Gemara says, ha eino mitzuva va'osa? No, that can't be. Because she's an eino mitzuva va'osa. So what do we care if she's an eino mitzuva va'osa? If she's not, she's not chayev to learn. So Rashi says, halo mifkada, she's not commanded, dechsiv. The pasuk says, "V'limadatem osam es b'neichem." You should teach your sons. V'lo es b'noseichem, excluding the b'noseichem, the daughters. Okay, so that's how we learn that an ishes ainu chayeves in Talmud Torah. She's not chayev. So the Gemara says, "Vekivan de ainu mitzu." I'm sorry, the Gemara. Rashi. Rashi says, "Vekivan de ainu mitzuva, ain schara gadol kemitzuva va'osa." Yeah. Okay, since she's not a mitzuva, so the Gemara in Kedushin has a discussion and concludes that ainu mitzuva, that mitzuva va'osa is greater schar than ainu mitzuva va'osa.
Not saying there's no schus.
But it's not as great as a man who's mitzuva, who has a command to learn, and he learns, he has a greater schar. And isha, the schar is less. It's not saying it's no schar, right? Yeah. It's just not kemitzuva velsa. It's not on the same level as mitzuva velsa.
You think the other way.
I'm sorry?
You think the other way, no?
Okay, you think the other way.
But we have to do it.
Have to do it. She's doing it voluntarily. I mean,
is greater than the person who does voluntarily.
If she's doing it voluntarily, right, you'd think. Okay, so that's one question. Why does the Gemara say mitzvah v'osa is a greater schar? On the surface, he'd say, ain't a mitzvah v'osa. Shows her, really, it's lishma. She's not forced to do it, and she's doing it.
How do you know it's not enough anyway, though?
I'm sorry?
How do you know the scar isn't good enough anyway, though? Okay. Maybe she's a lesser scar, but you know, why couldn't they cover this?
That's right. So it's the other question. What kind of a deduction is this? What kind of a conclusion is this that it can't be Torah because she's an Eina Mitzuva Va'osa and her scar wouldn't be as great as a Mitzuva Va'osa? Okay. But who says she needs that much schar?
Right.
How does the Gemara know? Gemara's not saying she doesn't get any schar.
Right.
So maybe such this such level of schar is sufficient to save her.
Wait, well, what? There's no like no dial when she drinks it that says, "Up, oh, this is the schar." Right. Not there yet.
That's right. Exactly. Right.
Meaning it was delayed, but it couldn't have been from that.
No, couldn't have been from that because
the Gemara does say that depending on how much schus you have depends on how long it's tola. So it's not like
but
it isn't some sort of metric.
But here it seems like it's just not how
it's not like there's a line you have to cross over and then you get 5 years to your
life. I'm just saying there's no like there is no how long it's being told. It's just what can it be told from? It can't be told from this.
Right.
Right, there's no like line of amount. Right. This close. If she's ever told it, it's not from this.
Right. In other words, first of all, right, how do you know that this isn't enough for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, whatever you're going to say, how many years you're going to say, how's Gemara gauging this?
Yeah.
Because there's a mitzvah vos is greater schar? Okay. Who says I need that greater schar? Maybe this is enough.
There's another question. It's either, you know, either you're innocent or guilty. Like, what do you need, you know? Meaning, like, if you're guilty, you're going to die. Meaning, like, if you're innocent, why should it make a difference if you have this list or not?
Well, if you're innocent, no problem.
You get more years to your life.
If you're innocent, you're not going to...
Oh, meaning if we're talking about she's guilty?
Guilty, yeah.
Okay, but either way, if she's guilty...
She didn't do anything wrong. She's not going to get an onus. The problem is if she's guilty... So she's going to get an onus. And the Mishnah says, but there are redeeming, there are counterbalancing forces. You can delay the onus based on mitigating circumstances. What's the mitigating circumstances? That she has a schar from, she has some schar, some schus. That can mitigate the onus so that she won't get the onus right away. Eventually she'll get it, but not right away, because of a z'chus. Right? The z'chus mitigates the onus. So we can understand that. Right? The Kadosh Baruch Hu, his mishpat, it takes other things into consideration. Okay, right now she's guilty, but she has other things that mitigate it. Okay? That we can understand. But, how does Gemara know this? How does Gemara know that... This won't mitigate it. This is enough schar. Right? So that's a question on the Gemara. How does the Gemara know? And the second question is, what you bring up in general, what is this principle? The principle itself seems funny. You're telling me that a person that's mitzvah va'osa, that has to do the mitzvah, he gets a greater reward than a person that voluntarily dedicates himself to do the mitzvah for its own sake. So on the contrary, there could be a strong argument to say that person has a greater schus.
What was Yaakov's question again?
Yaakov's question was, even assuming, let's assume, the axiom is that the person that's mitzvah does get greater schar. That's what the Gemara says. So let's take that. Okay, so he gets greater schar, but who says she needs the greater schar? So she gets less schar, so maybe that's enough. Maybe that's the mitigating thing. That's enough. You don't need the greater schar. You need this level of schar.
What's enough? Like anything?
Eina mitzvah osa. The Talmud Torah of an eina mitzvah osa is schar. True, it's a lower level of schar, but the Gemara's not saying she doesn't get any schar. So how does the Gemara know that when the Mishnah says that a z'chus will mitigate the onesh, maybe it's the z'chus of Eina Mitzvah Vosa? Yeah.
Back to the first question.
Okay.
I don't know if this is related, but it's similar. You do see cases where if a person is commanded in something, it's like a person's not commanded, like a guy keeping Shabbos. Right, like that's
they're not allowed to keep Shabbos. That's a different, right?
Is that like a separate?
That's a separate thing, because that would be like Bav Tosef. But let's say a guy wants to put on tefillin, so that would be a case of Eina Mitzvah Va'osa. He's entitled to do the mitzvah. It's a perfection. It's a zechus, but he's Eina Mitzvah. He's not commanded, so he would get the schar of an Eina Mitzvah Va'osa. Okay. So why, right? Okay, so...
The second question seems a little dochy, because you're talking about, you know, one of the...
Yaakov's question?
When you're talking about one of the three worst chatanim that you could do, mm-hmm. and then say you need some sort of great schar. Okay. Clearly, it's not the schar of learning Torah, because it's not a large enough schar to overcome what's clearly one of the worst things you could possibly do. So saying, okay, so you're going to need to talk about something where you really have a big scar. So that's such a crazy question to be like, well, how do you know she doesn't get any scar from it? It's not to say that she's not getting scar.
Right,
it's just not anything big enough to overcome what's clearly one of the worst things you could do.
Okay, I mean, on the surface, you're right, but if you want to be... if you want to look into it, if you want to be have a concrete, a definitive answer, I mean, the question still stands. It's true, this is a great owner, this is a great Aveira, but apparently Talmud Torah is a great mitzvah too. Right? So now, that's right. Whatever you're going to say, right, that this is great, this is not as great, the point is like this. The point is, how does the Gemara know that? I mean, is it just the Gemara's, it's a guess? It is something that is sort of the Gemara's, conjecturing? Well, that doesn't sound like enough schar. I mean, where's the definitive thing? That's all I want to know. Is this a definitive thing the Gemara is saying? Ain't a mitzvah b'osa, forget it. Are they saying forget it, or are they saying it doesn't sound like it would be enough? Okay, I mean, it doesn't sound like it would be enough. Fine, it might not sound like it would be enough, but maybe it is. I mean, sounds like is not definitive. The Gemara, when the Gemara is saying ain't a mitzvah b'osa, they're saying forget it. Now, how are you saying forget it? Just because there's a greater thing? Okay. And maybe that greater thing also wouldn't be enough. Right? I mean, let's say she was mitzvah b'osa. So could the Gemara have said, okay, mitzvah b'osa, it's a great schar, but it's not enough. I mean, you could just say anything. Right? What the Gemara is saying has to be a logical thing, like a solid thing based on a definitive analysis. So what's the definitive factor that... that's not enough. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. So what about the...
But your question is, Mitzvah Osa, why is it that if she's not commanded to do it, and she does it, why isn't that just as praiseworthy, if not more?
Well, okay, right.
Or
so
is that a separate question?
Two separate questions, okay. Right. Two separate questions, and we could take either, right? One question is that why is it that if it's optional, it's not as great a schar? Why is that a lower level? And given that that's a lower level, why, maybe that's enough? Maybe that's enough of a schar to save her. How does the Gemara know that that's not enough? Right? So one question is, how does the Gemara know that's not enough to save her, that lower level? And secondly, what is the idea that that's a lower level?
Mm-hmm.
What is that idea? Maybe it's a higher level.
Do we need the answer to that question to answer the first question?
Do you need to? You could answer any, yeah, I mean...
Well, I would say, just thinking about it, it seems like being commanded... is a prerequisite to having the idea of Lishma. For example, let's say you have a mother and she has a baby. So she's kind of commanded to take care of her child. And let's say you have a next door neighbor come over, like a girl, and start babysitting and start taking care of the child. But she's not commanded to do it.
Okay.
But she does it, so to say, Lishma. What is the higher level? The mother who starts off being commanded to take care of her child and then reaches a level of, okay, I really love this child no matter what.
Right.
Or the next door neighbor babysitter who is not commanded to take care of this child but just does it. So with the mother, there is this prerequisite, the interaction with the child starts off with this, I have to take care of the child because it is my child.
Right.
So that's what I'm thinking along those lines in terms of being commanded to do something is the prerequisite for having the idea of Lishma. Because if you're not commanded to do it initially, then getting to that level of Lishma is not... You have to have that balance, that yin and yang, so to say.
Well, let's say, for instance, a person sees that this is a great thing to do. Right? He sees that this performance, this mitzvah, let's say, the idea of learning, he sees that's a great thing to do. And he sees why this is the best thing for a person to do. Okay? And therefore he engages in that mitzvah. But he's not commanded to do it. But would not being commanded to do something, would that prevent the person from seeing the value of what this thing is and pursuing it? Because it's a good thing to do, would that prevent a person from having that recognition of seeing how important this thing is and pursuing it. It doesn't seem that that would prevent a person. It may be that a person might, it might be harder for the person to come to that realization because he's never directed in that direction. But let's say there would be a person that would, on their own, naturally, they came to that recognition, okay, that learning or doing another mitzvah, right, was a, they saw the benefit, they saw why it was really an important thing and a good thing for man, and they committed themselves to doing it. Okay, so why would they be on a lower level than a person that came to that recognition through the fact that initially he was commanded to do it, right, and then after doing it he saw how good it is, and therefore he committed himself, yes, I want to do it, not only because I'm commanded, but because I see it's really a good thing. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't, why would one person be at a deficit?
On a philosophical level, I would say that both of them are equal. There's no difference. But on a practical level, in terms of like scar and things like that, and there clearly is a difference.
Why would there be a difference in the scar?
Because one person is commanded to do it.
Okay, but
that's the difference.
But why would he get a greater schar?
Well, because he has his.
Why would he get a greater schar?
Isn't his fulfillment? It's in a different like framework. It's like as a member of Klal Yisrael, he's progressing the Mesorah forward. He has a responsibility vis-a-vis like the whole of the nation.
Okay.
Someone who's not Metsuva doesn't have that responsibility, so their schar is going to be different. I don't know what lower means, but. Someone who's required to do it to sustain the system.
He has a
different kind of scar.
Yeah, I don't know if lower or higher is the right word. It's just different.
Why should I make a difference though? I mean, yeah, they have a responsibility, but why should that determine how much scar you get?
Well, no.
What does that mean?
Okay, so here's the thing. In other words, the idea is that in a mitzvah, right, there are really two ideas. There are really two mitzvahs in every mitzvah. Okay, when I use the mitzvah, I mean two benefits or two frameworks in every mitzvah. Okay, so for example, if I do the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, one idea of the mitzvah is that it's the greatest thing for me personally. Okay, it's something that improves a person, and it's the greatest way of life for the person. It gives him the greatest benefit. Okay, so every mitzvah that a person does acts in two frameworks. One framework is it's beneficial for the person. Okay, the other framework is there's another idea in mitzvahs that when God gave the Torah, He gave us these mitzvahs for our benefit, but there was another condition attached, and the condition is that if you accept the Torah as a nation, then you also have a responsibility. Okay, so there was a responsibility imposed with giving the Torah. Okay, and the responsibility is, that's why the pasuk says that mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh, that you will be a mamleches kohanim, the nation will be a kingdom of priests and a goy kadosh. What does it mean, a mamleches kohanim? It means that God's will is that not only you should receive the benefit from the Torah, but the Torah should be a permanent institution for future generations, not only for Jews, and also you should be a light to other nations, that other nations should see that there is a correct way of life that they could look to. You see? So the purpose of the Torah was really twofold. One is to benefit the Am Yisrael, to benefit those that practice the Torah, but the other purpose of the Torah is that there should be a system that should be eternal. Okay, that mankind for forever should have a system that should maintain itself. The Jews should maintain this system for future generations and for the world at large. You see, so therefore, when we accepted the Torah, we accepted it on two grounds. One ground is we accepted it because it's the greatest thing for us personally, the personal benefit, but also we accepted a responsibility to keep the Torah for others. You see, to maintain the Torah. Yeah.
I guess I don't know if it's touched upon maybe like a new topic that's, I guess, going around nowadays.
Yeah.
Regarding like women being, you know, the rabbis.
Yeah.
But why can't they get the schus if they decide to now pass that along?
Okay. Okay. So let me just give you an example where there would be a difference. Like, let's say, for instance, you'd have a mitzvah, which in a certain case is not beneficial for the person. Doesn't help the person at all. Like the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, that it's impossible to have a system of law where every mitzvah at every time will benefit every person. It's impossible. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. Let's say you have Rabbi Chait's famous case, the red light. The red light at 3 in the morning, right? So a red light, a traffic light, is a very important thing. Saves persons from accident. It organizes the traffic. Nobody should hit each other, right? But let's say, for instance, 3 in the morning. You come to a red light. It's a hindrance. There's absolutely no, there's not a car 10 miles away. There's no cars, right? So in that situation, the law does not function to really create a benefit. On the contrary, it slows you down. It's a bad thing, you see? But would that mean that a person should go through the red light in the middle of the night? No, because there's another idea in law. One idea is the benefit that it gives, that it gives in general benefit to every person. But the other idea is that the law has to be a system. So if I go through the light 3 in the morning, it's true I'm not harming myself in terms of the benefit that the law is supposed to give me, but I'm doing something else. I'm breaking the system. You see? So part of my responsibility is to get the benefit, but also I have a responsibility to maintain the system. So if people start going through the light 3 in the morning, it creates a breakdown in the system. Then you'll see that 3 in the afternoon, people will be crossing through the light. You see? So the law operates on two frameworks. It operates in terms of the personal benefit, but it also operates as a system. And the person, every person must keep the system, you see, in order to ensure its future survival. Okay. So how does this apply over here? Right? So we say that when a person is a mitzuva va'ose, so he is really doing two things. There are two perfections. One perfection is he's receiving the benefit of the mitzvah. So if a person's learning, he's improving and raising his level. You see? But the other thing the person's doing is he is doing an act of justice. You see, he's fulfilling his responsibility. That's also a perfection. You see? So when we say that's greater schar, what it means is the person is really doing two perfections. You see? Whereas if a person is an Einu Mitzuva Va'osa and they do the mitzvah, it is true. In terms of the personal perfection, that's how they get. Because that stems from the mitzvah itself. But in terms of paying back the system, you see, of maintaining the system, that it's not. They're not maintaining the system because that is not their role. They were not given that responsibility. You see, so by doing, if a guy puts on tefillin, he is not maintaining the system of the Torah. You see, that's not his role. He wasn't given that responsibility, so that would not be considered an action of fulfilling his responsibility as a person. You see, whereas if a Jew puts on tefillin, he's doing two things. He's getting the benefit of tefillin, but he's also fulfilling a responsibility that was given to him. And by fulfilling a responsibility given to him, that's also perfection. You see, but that requires that you are the one responsible. If you're not the one responsible, then you're not fulfilling that responsibility. Yeah.
Seems like it's a little different in this case, though.
Okay.
Meaning, like, if it's not my job to mow the lawn, but I mow the lawn,
right?
The lawn's still mowed.
Lawn's still mowed, that's right.
Right, so at the end of the day,
right.
It's still brought down in this case. It's not like, even though they weren't commanded in bringing down the Masorah.
That's right.
They're still doing it. It's still happening.
Well, if an Isha learns, you see, if an Isha learns, she gets the benefit of the learning. You see, but you can't say that she is fulfilling the responsibility that she accepted upon herself. You can't say that. You see, you could say she's optionally helping the system. Yes, a person could help the system. But you don't consider that a fulfillment of a responsibility that was placed upon me. You see, and in that regard, you can't say that her action is the same perfection as a man. If I give you a responsibility and you fulfill the responsibility, you see, that action has a certain perfection. And if you don't fulfill the responsibility, you're guilty. If you fulfill the responsibility, then you've done something that was placed upon you to do, and that's considered a meritorious thing. Now, if you don't have a responsibility and you just optionally do something, it's a nice thing, you see. But you cannot say it's the same kind of justice as a person that was given that responsibility and fulfilled it. You see, that's not the same level.
Because the one will get paid for a lot more than one with the other one.
Well, okay, yeah. But whatever it is, if that's the person's job and they do it, then you could say they fulfilled what they promised to do. You see? Whereas if a person, it's not his job, okay, it's a great thing. It shows, in terms of your nature, a high level. So we're not questioning it. It's a very high level. You see? But the point is, you are not engaged in fulfilling the responsibility. You weren't placed with that responsibility to make sure the system continues. That was not on your head. So it's true, you definitely helped the system, but that was not your responsibility. And if it's not your responsibility, you cannot say that it's the same level of action. Do you know what I'm saying? If you're the one responsible, you made that promise and you fulfilled the promise, that's a fulfillment of something that you promised to do. If I didn't promise to do it, it's a very nice thing, you see. But that's not a fulfillment of what I was enjoined to do. Not enjoined, enjoined is the opposite. But it was not something that I was commanded to do, and therefore it's not considered a fulfillment of my responsibility. Yeah, yeah.
The perfection of inaction, of fulfilling your responsibility, that's like a different kind of...
That's a certain kind of perfection, yeah.
It's in terms of like the individual and his like character, like he's
yeah.
submitting his will to...
That's right, exactly. That's right. He's subordinating his will because of justice. I must subordinate my will to the greater good. I have to do that. That's a certain kind of level. You see, if I do that optionally, okay, I may like doing it, it may be a good thing, but you can't say that I'm subordinating my will to the will of others. Yeah.
And that's like just completely different from this close or the perfection of doing it because it benefits you.
Yeah, I mean, that's two different things. Yeah. Two different systems. You see? So therefore the Gemara is saying it's not a quantitative thing. You see, she's not operating in that second realm. The first realm, yes, she has great schus. The benefit she gets from the mitzvah, great schus. But you can't say she's operating in the second realm of ensuring the system. You can't say that. You see? Okay. Right? So now, how does the Gemara know? But maybe still in all, it's true she doesn't have that second realm of ensuring the system, right? But she does have a great zechus of raising herself to the higher level by learning. So maybe that zechus is enough to delay the punishment, right? In other words, again, you still have the problem because we're saying for the delay of the punishment, that's not enough zechus. I know that's a great zechus too. It's not in the second realm, you see, but it's samskara. Why isn't that enough?
Why isn't it enough for what? I'm sorry.
To delay her punishment.
It was enough, though, wasn't it?
Not enough, no, because for an Isha, since she's an Eina Metzuva Va'osa, that will not delay the punishment. You have to be Metzuva Va'osa to delay the punishment.
Right. Isn't her punishment because she broke down the system?
That's right.
Wasn't that for work?
That's right. In other words, the Gemara is saying, the Gemara is giving you a logical principle.
You need something within the system to counteract.
Exactly.
The system.
In other words, what was her violation? Her violation was on two counts. Number one, it was on the count personally. She did an action of imperfection. She ruined her life. She ruined the family. You see, she harmed people around her. So she did an action that was personally destructive. You see, but she operated in a different framework as well. She did an action which destroys the system. The whole system of Yadus is based on Mishpacha. Right? So her action was destructive in two frameworks. So the Gemara is saying very well that if you have to mitigate the onesh, the mitigation has to also be in two frameworks. You can't say you're going to mitigate it in one framework. That won't work because her chait was in two frameworks. So the zechus logically has to be commensurate. It has to be in two frameworks. And over here it's only one framework.
Wow.
So the, right? So the Gemara works out unbelievably. It's not just the Gemara saying, it's not enough. We need more. It's not a question of more and less. You see, you're in the wrong framework. True, in the personal, you can mitigate it. But there's no system. She's not redressing the harm to the system. And it's only logical to say that you'd mitigate it if you could redress the harm to the system. And that you can't do.
Very good. Unbelievable.
Because you want to think of schos as like just points that you have or something.
You did a great thing. I mean, come on. You got a lot of points. Maybe I didn't get them all, but hey. Nothing to do with that.
The rest of the Gemara's conversation, though, continues, basically says.
Okay, so
that,
right?
Even within the system, though, a mitzvah's probably not necessarily enough.
So, right? So now you're going to have, if you tell me a zechus will mitigate the onesh, it has to be a zechus in both frameworks, in the personal and in terms of the system. Right? That's what the Gemara concludes. Okay?
Is there a case? Is there a mitzvah like that?
What's that?
Is there a mitzvah that a woman does?
I'm okay, so that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says... There must be zechus to mitzvah. Right? El zechus to mitzvah. It's got to be a mitzvah that the isha is chayeves in. And then you'll have both requirements. You'll have the personal zechus, and you'll have the zechus in terms of the system. So the Gemara says, but one problem. Gemara says, Zchus to mitzvah, mi megana kuli hai. But the zchus to mitzvah, the problem is, it won't protect her. It's not. There's not enough zchus. Okay, take a look at Rashi. Okay, there's not Rashi. Okay. Okay. Right. But, so the Gemara says, zchus, so we have to be Rashi. Okay, so the Gemara says, Zchus to mitzvah won't protect her. Okay, how do you know it won't protect her? So the Gemara says, okay, Vatanya, Ezed darash Rebbe Menachem bar Yossi, kiner mitzvah v'torah or. Okay, so it's a pasuk in Mishlei, ner mitzvah v'torah or. What does that mean? Tala hakasuv es hamitzvah b'ner. The pasuk connects mitzvah to ner. There's a Torah to or, but it connects Torah to or, to light. Okay? As a mitzvah b'ner, what does that mean? Lomer lach. Ma ner einu magina elo lefisha. A ner, a candle, you see, protects you, lights up temporarily. Okay? Af mitzvah ein magina el lefisha. It'll protect you temporarily. Ves haTorah ba'or. But Torah is a different thing. Torah is or, is light. Okay? Lomar lach ma'or magin la'olam. Just like the light lights up la'olam. Okay? Af Torah magina la'olam. Okay. Is there a Rashi now?
No.
No. Okay. So a light, a candle is different than, let's say, the light of the sun, right? A candle lights up for a very limited scope, okay? Limited time or limited vision. You want to see right around here, right? But the sun, is a total light. You see, so Torah is like the sun, is like Or, like the light of the day, and the candle is a small little light. Okay. I think the Gemara goes a little further. Okay. Let's just right. Let's go a little further.
The next pasuk.
Okay. The Omer. Okay. Let me just get. Can I get a
actually
that thing?
You
want
a Mishlei?
Yeah. No. Mishlei. But can I get the? Let me get the. Yeah. If you can get that. You know, the English Hebrew, the Koran. What do they call it? You know that.
The green one.
The thick green one.
Actually, the black one.
The black one.
Black one.
One second. I want to get the translation too.
The green one comes with a black cover.
The rock the boat. Was this the Koran one?
That's a different translation than the Arts Gone?
Yeah.
Is it better?
I don't know. He said this is the best one he ever saw.
You said
it? Aaron said it. Yeah, he said very good at translation.
Is that Rebbe said it?
What?
You said that?
Rebbe, yeah. He said it's a very good translation. Okay, so. Is that Mishlei Zayin or Mishlei Vav? I can't really.
It's Vav. Vav Beis.
Vav Beis. Okay. Thanks.
So we got the one actually does the second.
Oh, it has it. Right, you're right. Okay, so he says like this. He says bishalecha tancha osach. Okay, when you walk, it should lead you, meaning the Torah. Okay, because the previous passage says, "Nitzur b'ni mitzvos avicha v'altitosh Torah simcha." Okay, so you should keep the mitzvos of your father and don't forsake the Torah of your mother. Okay, so the passage says, "But when you walk, it should lead you." V'shachbacha tishmor alecha. When you lie down, it should keep you. V'hakitzosa hi tasichecha. When you wake up, it will talk to you. Okay. Then it goes, Kiner mitzvah, the Torah or. For the commandment is a lamp, and Torah is light. Okay? So Gemara says like this. So Gemara says, Bisalechacha tanchel sach, Bisalechacha ze olam hazeh. That's talking about this world. Okay? Bishachbacha tishmor alecha. When you lie down, it will keep you. Zumisa. This is Misa, death. V'hakitzosa hi tasichecha la'asid lavo. Okay? And when you wake up, it will talk to you. That's la'asid lavo in the next world. Okay? So it says like this. Mashal la'adam shahaya mahalech bi'ishon laila. Person's going in the pitch night. Bi'afela, pitch dark. Umis yara min hakotzim umin hapachasim. Okay, he's afraid of the kotzim is like thorns. Pachasim, Rashi says, is gumos. Right, he'll fall into a hole, a pit. Can't see where he's going. Umin habarkonim. I don't know what barkonim is.
I think it sounds like thorns.
What?
I think it sounds like thorns.
Thorns, okay. So these different things, harmful phenomena. Umechayara, and wild animals. Umina list them, robbers. Okay? Ve'eino yodea be'eze derech mahalech. He doesn't know where to go, which way to go. Okay? So he says like this, Nizdamna lo avuka shalor. If he'll find, he'll get a torch. Okay? So, nitzol mina kotzin, kotzim mina pachasim mina barakim. He'll have the light to avoid these different bad things. Okay? Vadayin misyare mechaye ra umina listim. But he still has to be afraid of wild animals and robbers who are out at night. Okay? Ve'eni yode be'eze derech mahalech. Okay. So the Gemara says, Kivan sha'Allah amur shachar nitzol mechaye ra umina listim. Okay, but when the sun comes up, then he's protected from wild animals and robbers. Okay? So the torch has like a limited, very limited illumination, right? So it'll help him in a very limited way. Okay? In his immediate path, it'll show him the path. You see, but the light of the day is a totally different thing. There, the guy, it's broad daylight. I mean, you can see everything. The whole everything is clear. Okay. So, what is the? I just wanted to know what is the nimshal? In other words, they're saying that the mitzvos are like a nair, right? And the Torah is like broad daylight. Right, so how would you?
Well, it's like a candle. The candle is the medium, and when you light a candle, what do you really want? If you have to choose, you don't really want the candle. You want the light. The candle is just a medium for the light. If you could just have the light without having the candle, then you wouldn't go through the trouble of having the candle. The candle helps you get there.
Right.
You need the candle, but the ichor, the essence, is the light.
Okay. So how do you translate that into mitzvos versus Torah?
Mitzvos can illuminate partially, but Torah can show you the whole thing.
Okay.
This is just a temporary thing. You do the mitzvah, and you got the idea, you got the whatever it was that you were supposed to accomplish from whatever the particular mitzvah was.
Right.
You did it. You got it. But Torah, it's like ideas. It's like things that always that last.
Okay,
so the mitzvahs, though.
But it contextualizes the mitzvahs, I think.
The what?
Yeah, but it's the mitzvah itself. It's fleeting. You did the mitzvah. That's it. It's over.
But like Torah is like the framework.
But Torah is the ideas. It's the the themes and all of that's encompassing.
But
so
the role of mitzvahs in that.
That's
well.
Not temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have the idea, you know it.
Mitzvahs.
That's it. It's always there.
The mitzvahs have those. Yeah.
Mitzvahs aren't permanent. Once you did the mitzvah, that's it, it's over.
But the mitzvahs reflect ideas as well.
Okay.
But the mitzvah itself
so you can say the mitzvah
didn't do anything.
The mitzvah of
Talmud Torah. The mitzvah reflecting the idea. I mean, you have the accomplishment of the mitzvah,
right now, and that's it.
And you could do the mitzvah, and you can know nothing about the idea of the mitzvah, and you'll still have done the mitzvah.
Right.
And that's the reward of doing the mitzvah, because that's the schar. All you need to do is the reward. All you need to do is the mitzvah, and I fulfilled the responsibility.
That's
the responsibility isn't to know the idea.
One framework.
That's good.
No, but the point of the mitzvah is you have the responsibility of the mitzvah and you did the mitzvah.
Right.
That, the mitzvah reflects ideas, that's more of the Torah part of the mitzvah. So that's, do I know what the ideas are, am I learning from this?
Right.
So then that's Torah. That's not mitzvah anymore. But I did the mitzvah, mitzvah's fleeting, it's temporary, it's over.
Right.
What little I get from simply accomplishing my responsibility, it was over.
Isn't that a machlokas, mitzvah, shrichas, kavanah, and tzitzvah?
Well, even if you have kavana, kavana doesn't necessarily mean you have the right idea.
No, but let's say, well, you're just saying
kavana just means kavana. I have the mitzvah sukkah kavana means I have the idea intent that when I do this action, I know what I'm doing. It's not necessarily that I understand the deep ideas and themes of the mitzvah.
All
right.
But what about also if the mitzvah keeping Shabbos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's everyone keeps Shabbos, that's just what they've been told.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Torah is, I think,
I'm not sure if this is what Jay's saying, but the Torah is, you know, you learn about the Shabbos, and you learn the ideas of Shabbos, and you internalize it, and mm-hmm. that's like the aura that shines mm-hmm. through the Mitzvah.
That's right.
So the different levels.
No, it's two different.
It's lasting.
Different.
It's not temporary.
Yeah, it's not temporary. It
becomes part of your framework.
Right. Right.
And
also, and that continues.
Right. It's also not specific to this particular mitzvah. Meaning a mitzvah, you just do the mitzvah and then it's over. Right. But the idea behind the mitzvah, that's Torah, it's like it applies, you can see this idea
everywhere.
That's right. Right. Now, the Torah really is the ikkar, because the Torah is really the... That's the whole purpose of the mitzvos, to put a person in the correct path that he could pursue a life of chachma, right? But the purpose of the Torah is really the person that's involved in chachma. Okay, that's the ultimate life, the life of chachma, right? The purpose of the mitzvos is to get a person in the right path. Do certain actions. These actions, you see, keep a person away from a false derech, and sort of direct the person in the right path. So a person that keeps Shabbos, so he's moving in the right path. He's dedicating himself towards, it's a withdrawal from malacha, and hopefully it puts him in the frame of mind where he's involved in Talmud Torah. Okay, but Talmud Torah is really the purpose is to have a person engaged in chachma, to use his tzelem elokim. That's really the purpose of the whole Torah, that a person should fulfill his potential tzelem elokim. You see? So the mitzvos work in one capacity. They work with a person's emotions, to temper the emotions, to put the person in the right derech, give him certain actions that will direct him towards limud, towards the tzelem elokim. Okay? But Torah is really the objective, that the person should fulfill his tzelem elokim. Okay? So in that sense, the mitzvah is like a ner. You see, it's like a temporary or limited action that will steer a person clear from a lifestyle that is nonsense, and push him towards a worthwhile pursuit. You see? But what is that pursuit? That's Torah. You see? That is Torah. That's the Tzelem Elokim and the involvement in Chachmas Hashem. Okay? So there are really two aspects of the Torah. One is deals with the person's emotions and his going off the wrong path and pushing him towards the right path in terms of the person's actions, how a person acts. And the other aspect of the Torah is in terms of the ultimate lifestyle that a person should have, his ultimate purpose, which is Tzelem Elokim. Okay, so that's Torah. So when a person has Torah, he has the whole purpose. Everything is clear to him. The whole way is clear. His whole life he has... He uses his chachma, and he operates in the proper way. When a person has mitzvos, it protects him in individual situations. It protects him from this thing, from that thing. Directs him towards the thing. But it's like sort of a patchwork type of thing. It's a limited thing that if he utilizes right, it can get him in the right destination. But the destination is really tough. Right?
I was going to say, so if Torah is light and mitzvahs are nares, then why do you have mitzvahs if you have Torah?
Because you can't have the Torah without the mitzvahs.
No, let's say you're a Talmud Chacham, you've learned your entire life, you're called in Torah. And
how'd you become a Talmud Chacham?
You use the mitzvahs.
That's right.
But now you no longer need
mitzvahs. Well, now get rid of them.
You don't need candles.
Well, first of all, a person could be a Talmud Chacham, and it doesn't mean he doesn't have emotions. He still has a need to keep himself in check.
And we live in a physical world. That's why we have this.
That's right.
In a physical world.
Person's always...
And we're not going to need
right.
Well, why categorically? So
the Yetzer Hara is always a danger. So he's always danger number one. And if he reaches such a high level that he doesn't need mitzvos, he has an obligation to maintain the system.
Right?
He has an obligation to maintain the system.
But
yeah.
But even, however, you still need, meaning if you really understand the, like, you know, like the Torah, like the philosophy behind the mitzvah, and you don't do the mitzvah, you're still lacking in the philosophy of the mitzvah.
How are you lacking?
Because you're not doing the mitzvah. So
if you, you just said, if the purpose is,
I don't. Meaning you can't just use the mitzvah as a vehicle to get the Torah and just completely destroy that track once you have the Torah. It just doesn't work because.
Right, on the whole.
Because the highest, I think the highest level is to have the Torah and the mitzvah. So if you have one without the other, it just doesn't work. That means the fact that, meaning,
you don't have the muscle of a candle and light anymore. Why do you?
I mean, you can't. I don't think you could say that. Then, if that's because I'm disagreeing with that, I mean,
the person, in other words, person. Unless you're talking about like a one person in, I don't know, a couple billion. I mean, Toroso Manaso, a person that only learns. So he's pata from certain mitzvos because he's involved already in learning. So he's pata from certain. Like Rebuto Nasi davened once a month, but he's pata from tefillah because that was his whole. He was totally a different type of person, you see. But if you're talking about anybody that we could even imagine, right? Just because a person has the knowledge, he still has the emotions. Do not necessarily follow. He's not a one-sided person. He's not just knowledge. He has emotions. So just like mitzvos help a person on a lower level, they help a person on a higher level too, because his emotions always have to be directed properly. If the emotions are not directed properly, even a person on a high level, won't be on the high level for too long. You see, insofar as he has emotions, if he's a different kind of a person where he simply has no psychological needs, he's purely chachma. Okay, that's you know what I mean. Some of we can't even. Possible, but we're not, you know, when we talk about Torah and mitzvos, we mean for a person that we could relate to, the average person, you know, a person even on a high level needs mitzvos. But like the Rambam says, it doesn't mean every mitzvah at every time every person is going to need. You see, there could be situations where a person doesn't need a mitzvah, but that doesn't exempt him necessarily from the mitzvah because a person has to keep it because of the system. Okay, but that's the general idea between the idea of the difference between mitzvahs and Torah. The mitzvahs are part of the path, and to correct a person and keep a person's emotions directed properly, and the Torah is that's the objective. That's really the purpose of everything is the tzelem elokim.
When you're saying mitzvahs, are you saying like just like the fact of like directing your will to certain behavior and action?
The performances a person puts on tefillin every day.
So nothing like intellectual, no internalization in that aspect.
Well, if he does the mitzvah, part of the mitzvah is supposed to be that he has a certain recognition.
So then you're in Torah already?
That's not really Torah, because the thing is, the mitzvah is to take a person's emotions, you see, and direct them to a realistic action. You see, so if a person puts on tefillin and he's reflecting on the idea of what tefillin are, that's not Torah, because he's not sitting down with a Gemara and going through the svaras of tefillin, you see, but he has a certain recognition of what tefillin are, that there's a certain kedusha, and that this is really the purpose of man. So he's not just acting mechanically, blindly. He has a recognition of what he's doing, but the emphasis is that his whole personality has a recognition. This is something realistic. This is what I should be. These are the important things in life. You see, or if a person is omei b'tefila, so omei b'tefila, a person has to know what he's saying. It involves chachma. But it doesn't mean that he's sitting down when he's davening. He can't start thinking, why did the tefillah have this word instead of that word? He's not davening anymore. He's working out svaras in tefillah. But there's another type of thinking where he's not be'ian, he's not involved in an analysis of tefillah, but he has a recognition of who, what he's doing, and what the tefillah, who he's mispalel to, and what he's saying. You see, that's also chachma, but it's not the same type of thing as learning.
But it's not Torah.
Not Torah. That's mitzvahs.
So like reflecting on a true idea is not necessarily Torah.
That's not Torah. Right. Torah means, when they say Torah, it means where the person is purely using the part of the mind, that the creative part of the mind, or the part of the mind that's involved in Chachmah. I mean, is it Torah if a person walks down the street and he's using his mind too? I mean, that's using the mind when a person puts on tefillin, right? And he says, okay, I have to wrap it 7 times. I mean, he's using his mind. I mean, he has a recognition of what tefillin is, but that's part of the mitzvah. That's not Torah. Let's put it this way. If the person learned the Masechta and understood all the ideas of tefillin, then the next time he puts on tefillin, he's going to have a greater appreciation of what tefillin is. He's going to have certain ideas in his mind, you see? But those ideas he has in his mind because he spent the time reflecting on tefillin and going through the ideas of tefillin. That's a process. Gaining knowledge is a specific process. When I'm putting a tefillin, I'm not gaining knowledge. You see, if I have knowledge, I'm utilizing that knowledge in this performance. That's utilizing knowledge. That's not learning. Learning is not utilizing knowledge. Learning is gaining knowledge. You see, but when I put on tefillin, I'm not gaining knowledge, but I'm taking the knowledge that I have and I'm implementing it. You see, that's a different type of thing. It involves knowledge, you see, but it's a different kind of thing. It's where I'm implementing it so that my emotions now relate to that knowledge in a practical kind of way. But that's not Torah.
So you're saying Torah is gaining knowledge?
Gaining knowledge. Presences down and learns.
Okay, so it has like no relationship to the mitzvahs, pretty much. Not in a direct way.
Right, it's a different kind of thing, right? Right? That's a different kind of thing.
But why not look at Torah as just like, as what Torah is, which we relate to as like all the commandments. Like, that's how we know God, is through his commandments.
Okay, so then if that's the case, but that's not what Mishle is. You could look at Torah that way, but Mishle is dividing between Ner Mitzvah and Torah Or. So he's dividing it up. Right? In other words, if I sit and learn all day, but I don't do any mitzvahs, I could become a very intellectual person. But will I have any perfection? No. Because my emotions are, I like to learn. I might think I'm a big intellectual by learning, right? But emotionally, I am not improved at all because my value system is maybe how great I am. My value system may be the exact same thing as a businessman who's trying to conquer the world of finance. I'm conquering the world of Chachma. Okay, I'm a great Chacham. That's great. But is my value system any different than the businessman? No. It's the value system of the ego. You see? So that, yeah.
I got my card just there.
Oh, okay, great.
I don't want to shut it off.
You don't want to shut it off? Okay.
Do you know where Yitzi's pants are? Because I want to bring
them. I put it in his knapsack.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
You know what I mean? That's not going to improve your value system. But when a person puts on tefillin, he starts to realize that, okay, there's the idea of chachma, but what's the purpose of chachma? It's a certain value system. It's not me. It's the ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see? It's the pursuit of reality. It's not me. It's reality. This is reality. You see? So therefore, I'm not wasting my time when I put on tefillin, because I'm having a recognition that there's something outside of me. You see? And when a person sits and learns, he doesn't necessarily become a great, he doesn't perfect himself necessarily. The learning may be just, there's nothing outside of me. These things are just to promote me. You see? But the mitzvahs counteract that. Mitzvahs means that no, there's, forget about your learning for a second. This, you have actions, the you have a system you have to comply with. You see, there's a greater reality. This is the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see? So that's the thing. So it's not equal. Torah and Tudor, each thing has its role. Yeah.
It's almost, this is, in my mind, it's almost as if you have the knowledge or you know, the philosophy behind it, behind the mitzvah, and you don't do the mitzvah. In my mind, it's almost contradictory.
That's right. It's almost contradictory.
It
that's
is
right.
contradictory.
That's right. Because you're saying, like, this is not reality. This is just, hey, it works out nice. It's a cute thing to say. It's, you know, it's impressive. It's, yeah.
But you don't do it. And it's,
you don't,
like,
do it. It's not, there's no reality to it.
Right.
It's not a realistic thing. It's just, a person could become a big chacham in chess, though.
Right.
Great chacham, chess, unbelievable, impressive. Okay, but it's a game. Isn't that what they say? This is not a game.
Yeah. Like, I know this one guy who's an atheist.
Yeah.
And, like, I saw him one time in shul putting on tefillin.
Wow.
Like, are you an atheist? And he's like,
that's what he said.
He's like, yeah, but, I mean, he didn't really give me, like a straight answer. I don't even remember his answer, but it was, like, very funny.
Maybe he's not really an atheist. Claiming you're an atheist is a what do you call it?
Like,
trend. Hey,
what?
Trend.
It's a trend. It's an ego thing. I'm an atheist. Are you really an atheist? No.
But he also drives a Shalom Shabbos. He's a very weird guy.
Yeah.
As far as the kind of like skipping way ahead here.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Okay, yeah.
But Ravina tries to actually settle the whole focus here at the end.
Okay.
Says Ravina Amar the Olam's Chas Torah.
Okay.
Really, what's Tolila?
Yeah.
It's Chas Torah. How does it work? It's Gemar Ena Mitsu of Yose. Nihi Tipakudi Lo Mipkada Ba'agra. So, Demakran Misnayin Benayhu. Venatra Lehu the Gavrayu. Ada Asumi Bimidrasha. So, Milo Palgan Bahadayhu. So, he says, so what's her chus? Her chus is that she brings her kids to the base medrash, and that she misses her husband when her husband's out learning.
Right.
And then the Gemara's answer is, so who says that she doesn't get to take part in their chus?
Okay, good.
That's Talmud Torah.
That seems good. Like even worse than her just learning.
Okay.
Worse. Like, why is that?
So it's
how does that relate to her?
Cause
that she's simply unable.
She's enabling
them.
She's helping them. Sorry,
she's no commandment. She's not meant. She's not meant to do that.
She's meant to keep the kids in check while the husband is learning.
Yeah, but it says dafka that she brought the kids over there. And then just the way the Gemara phrases it, v'natran lehula gavario ad asumim be bendrasha sounds like, and she's like,
wait.
Because I mean, like, she's. But it's more than just like, yeah, she's more than just waiting. She like misses him. She wants him to come back. No?
Right. So what's Gemara's answer?
Well, that's it. That's how he says the Gemara. The Gemara finishes on her
feet. She's animate to Vosa.
Because she brings her kids there.
Right. But she's not commanded.
She takes part in this chus of the Mitzvah Vosa.
Right. But she doesn't have to bring the kids. She doesn't have to let the husband learn because she's animate to Vosa. So, right,
sounds
contradictory.
What?
But the Gemara says that'll be the schuss. Yeah.
Gemara says that's the schuss.
More of a schuss than her actually doing it?
That's right, exactly. That's right. See, that's like Yisrael, like you were bringing up. Well, why can't she help the system even if she's not commanded to? See, that's what Ravina's saying. He's saying it's true by learning. There, she's not complying with the system, you see, because she's not a mitzvah osa. But she can help the system if she lets the husband learn, or she brings the kids. It doesn't matter if she's an ena mitzvah osa. The ikar is she paying back the system? See, she's not commanded to do it. So by doing it, a performance itself, if she sits in her living room by herself learning, yeah, that's nothing. She's not complying with a system. You see? But if she goes out and helps her husband, so it's true she's not commanded to do that. But that wasn't really the ikker, whether she's commanded or not. The ikker is she improving the system? She harmed the system. Did she improve the system? And over here, she did improve the system. The fact that she wasn't commanded to do it doesn't really matter. You see? In other words, we're not talking about her personal perfection. We're talking about, did she pay back the system? And over here, the fact that she's not commanded to do it, so what? But she paid back the system. You see, that really is the answer to your question. You see, the answer to your question really is that you're right. You don't, even if you're not commanded, it doesn't matter that you weren't given the responsibility. That's not the issue. The issue is, by doing a mitzvah, are you paying back the system? You see? So it's true if she's doing it in private, she's not paying back the system. But if she helps the husband learn, she is improving the system. So that's why Ravina says that will act as a kapara. Right, so you're on the right track. You're on the right track. Very good. I'm happy you showed me that Gemara. I wasn't mocking that, because we were dealing with in this limited framework. But you're right. It's not a question of optional or compelled, whether you're coerced or it's optional. Even an optional improvement of the system is the schus, because it's not a question of whether you commanded. It's a question, you harmed the system. What did you do for the system? So even if you're not commanded, but if you improve the system, so you pay back. There you go. You know what I mean? Yeah.
What if a woman teaches herself? Is it similar?
If she teaches herself.
Yeah.
But how would that be?
Teach herself.
You mean, how would that be improving the system?
No, she teaches other people herself. She's a teacher.
It would seem so. That's right. If she teaches others, it would seem that that would be the same, theoretically, that would be the same idea, that she's improving the system. She's promoting the system.
Then why was there ever Hamina by Animutsu?
Because they say Animutsu.
Why does Ravina even have to jump to this whole kid's case?
Because...
he's saying, he still seems to be saying, yeah, there's still a problem with Animutsu Vosa. The only reason she's actually getting anything is because she partakes in a mitzvah osa. I don't dochet with that.
No, you're basically saying
that
because
even though she's in a mitzvah osa,
she's still
improving the system.
Because Ravina's saying like this. Ravina's saying if she brings her kids to school, so she's enabling them to learn. Right? She's enabling them to learn and to promote the system. So if she teaches them, that's worse. I mean, that's certainly enabling them to learn. She's actually giving them the knowledge. And they need to have the knowledge to perpetuate the system. So she's giving them the knowledge. You know what I mean?
Well, it's only in as much as their mitzvah osa, though.
Yeah. They're the ones that are improving
the system. She's improving the system through people who are obligated to improve the system.
Well, it has to be, because they're the ones that are supposed to hand it over. So if she enables them to hand it over in any way, so she's helping the system.
It's like if the kids have no father,
right?
She's gonna have to teach them, no?
I don't know. But I'm just saying, based on what Ravina's saying, right? Ravina's saying that even if she improves the system in an optional kind of way, that's also paying back. That's what he's saying.
Why isn't just having kids like that earning her zechus?
What's that?
Why isn't just like having kids as a chusda, because she's keeping up the system, and then she has this chusda in the system?
It's a good question. What about she just has kids? Isn't that perpetuating the system?
Well, if you don't teach them the system, what's the point?
Okay.
Because you're still contributing one step that you knew.
Fine, but...
I don't totally understand that point. I'm saying as long as she contributes to the system, then that's what matters.
That's what matters.
Then Ena Mitzvah should be relevant.
Yeah.
Ena Mitzvah Osa? What do you mean that should be irrelevant?
It doesn't matter whether or not she's commanded to.
But
if a person's commanded to do it, right? So then if they learn themselves, that would be considered perpetuating the system.
Right.
But if she learns herself, it's not perpetuating the system.
Right.
That's right. But if she helps other people that are given the responsibility, so then she's improving the system.
But your question is, if she has kids, why
isn't
that a
scar? Separate. And you based off of that, now that we get it out of Anima Tsubosa, if she's perpetuating the system, then it should be to any amount. Meaning, if she has kids, that's part of perpetuating the.
So that's what Adam's asking. Let's say she has kids. Well, isn't that important for the system?
But she's not chayev to have kids.
Okay, but we're saying
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore.
But she's not chayev to bring her kids to school, right? But yet it's an optional thing. But yet she's doing an action of improving the system.
Right.
You see. So why don't you say when she has kids, that's also improving the system?
You have to say that she is.
Well, that's the question. Now, as if that's improving the system, so why isn't that enough?
It's more passive. You know,
it sounds like you'd always have this
more passive to have a kid.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a kid and not teach them anything. What good is having a kid?
They're not teaching anything at school.
The Natron Lehulu Gavrayu Ad to us from Vayimidrasha. She's simply waiting for her husband to come home. She didn't bring her husband in yeshiva. She didn't walk him there and say, okay, go to school now.
She lets him go.
Yeah.
And she lets him go. So apparently improving the system has to do with this area.
With what?
With the area of giving over the Masorah.
Uh-huh.
Right? But if I have kids and they have nothing to do with the Masorah, so, okay, what do I do? You see, apparently improving the system is in the area where the system survives, which is Torah. That's the area. You see, but just having children, okay, it's a means, you need it, true. But that's not the area that the Gemara is talking about, the Schus. The Schus is an improvement in the area of what creates the system, and that's Torah. Okay?
So meaning anything else can just be seen as like a means to that goal of the system, but unless the woman is actually contributing to the goal of the system,
that's
then
right.
It's not really, she's not protecting this close.
That's right. I see, that's not doing an act of building the system. It's necessary, but the building of the system is through Torah. So if she would do it, if she would be chayev, so then that would be part of building the system. She's one of the ones, the members that are chayev in building the system, and she built it. But if she's not chayev, so then her sitting and learning is not part of the building the system of the Ummah through Torah. You see? But that's why Ravina says, hold on a second, even if it's optional, if she enables those people that are chayev, that's also building. Okay? That seems to be the svara. All right. Very good. It's an important idea. You know, the differentiation between the perfection of the mitzvahs and the system. It's an important yisod. See, a lot of people make a mistake. They forget about the idea of the system. Somebody said once, well, if the Torah was given now, mitzvahs would be totally different. Okay, so therefore, why don't we have a different, why don't we change the mitzvahs? It's no argument, because you're right, even if you'd be right, even if you have enough chachma to say that the tzuras and mitzvahs would be different, even if such a thing would be true, that doesn't mean we could change it, because there are two things in mitzvahs. There are the greatest, the mitzvahs are the greatest benefit. The tzura of the mitzvah is given in the best possible way. But there's another objective, the system. So if I have mitzvahs to change, then I have a system. Forget the second. You're forgetting the second. This is the second element in the mitzvahs. Okay.